Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Well, welcome back, folks, to our pre-training camp edition of One of These Years. Things have changed a little bit since the last time we recorded. I'm Chris Burke, joined by Nick Baumgartner, as always, and welcoming in our new Lions beat writer, Colton Pouncey. Colton, how's the transition gone for you so far?
Yeah, it's good. All settled into my new place in Detroit, now neighbors with Pistons writer James Edwards.
Yeah, leave him alone, man.
I know. He's actually been the one inviting me all over the city. I'm like, man, I need a break. Like, you're on vacation. You should chill and relax right now.
James is currently in a Twitter war with all of Sacramento.
All of it. Whole town of Sacramento.
And most of the West Coast. But I do see Colton's got the new place. I see your background's different. You got a nice, you know, a nice kitchen set up there, a nice clock.
Yeah, it's a little more adult than my wall before in East Lansing. So
I like it. You've got a nice adult place, and now you're an NFL writer.
Yeah,
very exciting. Like, this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. So Colton, I guess before we really start to, most of the people I think that listen to the show know Colton. But I guess before we dive too much into any of this, give us the rundown of, we know you, of course, but like give the people a rundown of your background, where you're from, likes, dislikes, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So grew up like suburb of Chicago, went to the University of Missouri, graduated 2017. That summer I did an internship in Nashville at the Tennessean. Some Michigan State fans probably know that Joe Rexroad left the Free Press to go there. So I got to know him a little bit down there. So I was there for about like 9 or 10 months. I did my internship and then they hired me full time to kind of be a general assignment, you know, sports reporter in Nashville, while also my beat, just to get some beat experience back then. It was a small FCS school called Austin Peay State University.
I know him.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
I know him well.
Yep. And it's funny because when I first got there, they had lost 45 of their last 46 games. That's including right. 27 in a row. And then they lost the first two games of that 2017 season. So it got to 29, which is the longest in college football at the time. And then they end up winning their third game and they went on to finish that season 8-4. So any Lions fans that are out there, maybe good luck. I don't know. Just putting that out there. So then kind of in, it was either April or May. I think it was or March or April, I should say, of 2018. That's when Craig Custance at The Athletic Detroit reached out to me, said they were looking for a Michigan State writer. And I guess my name was passed to him. So we were talking. I talked to him. I talked to Katie. Had some really good conversations. And then I was like, The Athletic is the place to be, like, for everything I want to do, which is, you know, features, profiles, you know, a lot of, you know, analysis, film stuff is cool. Like, we have so much opportunities here that you don't really have at a traditional newspaper. And I felt like that was a really good fit. And it was still kind of early in The Athletic back then. So I was hired in like June 2018, to cover Michigan State. And it's kind of evolved so much over the years. It's kind of funny how much it's changed, but I still think it's a, you know, an awesome place to work. And did Michigan State for 4 years, was really proud of the work I did on the Michigan State beat. Had some fun. There's some ups and downs on the in terms of the team success and everything, but you know that comes with the job. And yeah,
that's not going to go away with the new job.
I can tell. Yeah. yeah. So then a couple months ago, they were kind of trying to figure out their NFL staff or reaching out to me about some jobs within the company. And then we, kind of heard you guys might be transitioning to, your other roles and that the Lions beat might open up. So that was obviously one that was kind of in the back of my mind throughout that process. So, I mean, I'm happy it's all worked out. Happy I'm going to see like Detroit. Like I said, James has shown me around. It's been a good spot so far. And yeah, I'm excited to get going.
I guess, Nick, we should also, since we keep getting questions, clarify what's happening with us.
I don't want to speak on your behalf, so I'm glad we can use this opportunity.
I don't know if you want to go first.
Yes, I can go first. So basically, my job as far as this show and the Lions coverage goes won't change. I will continue to write on Lions the same as I did with Chris last year and the year before and the year before that, whatever it was. So it'll be the same with me and Colton now. So I'll be writing with him. A lot of the similar things that we've done in the past, Colton and I have already done a film study on Malcolm Rodriguez that is up. We've got a couple more. I think we're going to wait on a couple actually once we get into training camp here. But we're going to do some more of those. I'll be out there at training camp, obviously, every day for the first week or so anyway, and we'll do our observations and all the things that everybody is used to seeing. And of course, once camp starts, the show will be every week. It'll at least be Colton and I. Chris will be on when Chris can come on. I think it'll probably be at least for the first couple of weeks of camp, because Chris isn't gonna be able to get out there every day, probably just Colton and I. But the show will be the same in terms of pace and everything else, and the same type of analysis. That's part of the reason why, frankly, I said this, I think Brendan and I were talking about this on the other show, that I felt like a recruiter. I felt like a college football coach or something, for crying out loud, trying to get Colton to join the Lions beat, because I knew I wanted this to stay as close to what everybody has signed up to, support us here at The Athletic got used to, and that Colton understands football. He knows the game at a level that Chris and I, write at. So I think that it won't be that big of a adjustment really at all, I don't think, for people. And at the end of the day, I tell them this isn't less Lions coverage. I think it's going to be more Lions coverage. So I'm really excited about it. So without further ado, my job, of course, I've already started that. I'm writing more on NFL draft prospects and things like that nationally. So Chris can explain more of that as well with his role.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just add on to the Colton part of what you were just saying too. Like, I think most of my favorite stories Colton's written while covering Michigan State have been that stuff that we know Lions fans really like, the behind the scenes 100%. Stuff, the people you don't hear about in the organization a whole lot. And so I think that hopefully will, kind of naturally transitions over, because there still aren't many people that tell some of the stories that we're able to tell. So I think that that'll be really cool. And to get, Nick, you and I both grew up in this state. So we know where the Lions have been for so long. And I think it's kind of cool to have a little bit more of an outside perspective on it too.
But an NFC North perspective.
But an NFC North, right.
Yeah. From Colton's Chicago roots. Colton, we've already had people that are like, are you going to be a Bears? Are you going to be a Bears homer? I'm like, no, this is not how this works.
I don't care about the Bears at all.
Care about the Bears. We can put that to bed before it even begins. This is, end of the day, there'll be more Lions coverage. But I also want Chris to tell more about his job, because it's also changing.
Have you been in the Soldier Field press box yet, Colton?
I've not.
You won't be a Bears fan anymore after that. The worst press box in the league.
That checks out, actually.
Yeah. So obviously things are changing for me. I'm as people who have been paying attention on Twitter and whatever know, I'm shifting over to an editor role. I guess I've already shifted over to an editor role. I'll be helping run our NFL draft section, which is Nick and Dane Brugler, who's incredible, of course. Nate Tice, Deontay Lee. Is that everyone? I think that's all of them. So yeah, really good team over there. I've known Dane for a long time. I think it'll be really cool. I've been, it was kind of I mean, I tweeted, it was a tough decision, because it was basically, I'd worked so hard to try and establish this beat. Like, I came in 2017 The first few posts I wrote were like, it'd be like 40 people read them. There was like no subscribers yet. Mm-hmm. I think we were sending out posts for free because we're just like, please someone click on the website. So we didn't know what it was going to be like. And obviously the response over the past few years has been incredible. And, you know, Nick and I have really seen, I think the subscriber base and the appetite for it blow up over the last couple years here. And especially since Dan Campbell got in, you know, just the enthusiasm's been there. So it was tough to kind of bail on that. But at the same time, I've been talking to the higher ups at the Athletic for a little bit about getting more into the draft stuff. That's a lot of where my background is in this job. When I was an editor before, when I was young, you know, like just out of college, I was an editor back when AOL was a thing at the sports there. And that was a lot of draft coverage. And then when I was at Sports Illustrated, they one spring kind of wound up scrambling and needing draft coverage and asked me to do it. And then I ended up spearheading that for a few years. So it's just always something I've really enjoyed doing. And this gets me off the road a little bit more and home a little bit more. And that was, you know, I talked to Craig Custance when I was making the decision who hired me here in the first place. And, you know, I sort of laid it out and he said, well, what's the biggest reason you want to do this? And I said, well, it's hard for me to sort of balance out the travel and then being at the facility all the time. And like when I'm busiest, like right now training camp starts and then like the weekends in the fall, when I'm busiest is when like my kids have free time. And so it was tough to sort of figure out that balance. And I think his message was like, well, it sounds like you'd be leaving for the right reasons.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm excited. But yeah, like Nick said, I think the plan is to still at least like pitch in, if not help co-host this podcast. You know, Nick and I were just talking about times when I might be able to get out to camp. I'm already, you know, I'll probably be out at the Ford Field like scrimmage thing they do. Yeah. Not in a media perspective or media role necessarily, but I'll be there. And so I think there'll be some opportunities to pop back in from time to time if Colton and Nick will have me. So, but yeah, the podcast should be here and rolling. Yeah, and like Nick said, I think it just expands our coverage. Some of the times where you guys were complaining that we didn't have podcasts is because one of us was, you know, Nick was covering Michigan and Ohio State like there was just other stuff going on. And so now we should be able to kind of bridge that gap. So,
yeah, I think it's important to note that like the Lions are a big focus here. And I think it's important to say that, and it's not like that's because of the people who listen to the show in a large part, because most of the people who listen to the show are subscribers. And I think it's important to tell people that, because I think you can sort of see it and you will see it as the year goes on. But I mean, like, people are interested, right? I mean, people are interested in the Lions. The interest is growing. It's something that there's a bit of a buzz here. Chris and I, we've talked about this for a little while. It seems like it's different than it's been in other, you know, restarts or whatever. So it's an exciting time. I guess we can say it's a different time anyway.
That was one of the other reasons I hesitated leaving, because I was like, do I want to bail right now when this might get
different? Good? Yeah.
But, all right.
But it's a time nonetheless, and things are moving on. But either way, in the immediate here, because we will talk a little football today, camp starts next week, the 27th. Is that right? Is it Wednesday? I actually thought it was the 1st. I was wrong. And then Allison told me yesterday it was 27th. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's like 3 days, 4 days before I thought it was. But camp starts next week.
Yeah.
On us. It's here. Colton and I will have a primer coming out Monday. But there was a couple things I wanted to talk about today, because there were some things I was going over in terms of position battles. And like, Chris, if I had to ask you sort of at the top, like, what would your number one, and Colton and I were talking about a little bit in the secondary yesterday and some other things, but what would your, maybe your number one position battle of like when camp starts, when the pads go on, that you're saying, I want to see, you know, whether it's a glamorous spot or not, like, I want to see how this shakes out.
I mean, I think for me, it's still safety, which is what we've been talking about for like since you came over to the Lions, you know, like, and it feels like it's in a little better shape. That whole secondary, like you said, I think has question marks, and at cornerback, especially the injury question marks are there. But, you know, safety, because we didn't see a lot of Deshaun Elliott in the spring. He was hurt, which was sort of the, I mean, the reason they got him cheap in the first place is because he was hurt all last year. So you need to see him healthy. I mean, Aubrey Pleasant came right out and told us at the Senior Bowl that, like, Tracy Walker's got to go to another level. Like, that's what we keep talking about with him. He's got to take it to another level. So does he have that other level, or is that just sort of like a dream that they're hoping he finds? You know, Kirby Joseph is in that mix. Iffy Melifonwu is a safety now, I guess. Right. We didn't see him a lot because he was hurt. And then they have a bunch of pieces that are, you know, kind of feel like depth guys, but who knows? They might end up having to play a ton. So I think that that's the one, especially knowing, and we talk about all the time, how much this defense puts on its safeties and how much Aaron Glenn, you know, how much responsibility they have on every single play. And just how often they're playing three safeties too. I mean, there's a lot of playing time and important playing time available there. So we think most of it's going to be Walker and Elliott if he's healthy, but I don't know for sure that that's going to be the setup. And they need to be really good there if this defense is going to be like formidable in any way. So that's the one for me that I think just kind of seeing how it settles beyond Tracy Walker, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think that mine, and Golden, I was going to ask you about this because I know you looked at it yesterday, that it blends into the whole secondary, the corner and safety, because I think it works. Like, Walker's the only guy in the whole thing that you're like, oh, he's a guy. We know what he is. Everyone else, except for, I guess, Oruwariye, who, like, we've gone back and forth on forever here about, like, at best, I think he's probably a two. You know, at worst, he's a three, or he's not a guy. I don't know. I don't know if he's a one. You know, we don't know anything about Okuda right now. Jerry Jacobs had a nice year last year, but he's coming up an injury. There's nothing. There's just like Will. I have Will Harris still as a possible favorite to start at corner. So, I mean, the entire secondary, when I look at it, going into training camp is a complete and total question mark. And I know, Colton, we talked about that yesterday. Like, what some of your early thoughts after you've sort of dived. I'm curious your impressions coming from the outside in here of what you'll be looking for when they get going out there.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about that position again, it seems like a lot of names, but not, you know, a ton of.
Yeah, it's a lot of names, so that's it.
Yeah, like a long list, and you're, I guess you're hoping that Aaron Glenn and Aubrey Pleasant can get the most out of that. It seems like that's been the case. You know, they've been just giving them pieces and saying, all right, go to work, do what you can. But yeah, I think eventually you'd like one of these guys to step up. Like Okuda, he's had a pretty tough start to his career.
Yeah.
Pretty rough rookie year, the Achilles last year. I mean, like that's as brutal a start as you can expect. And, you know, we'll see. Like you and I were talking about him yesterday, and it seems like he's, you know, very mentally tough on himself, and that might be underselling a little bit. So we'll see how that meshes with, you know, coming back from a major injury and, you know, how that all factors in together. You know, you mentioned the other pieces there. It's like, it seems at corner, the biggest thing is health. They haven't been healthy. They're kind of scrambling to find stuff. And then at safety, it's like, do we have anyone else back there? Like besides Tracy Walker, like who's going to step up here, and what kind of depth do we have if there's an injury? So, I mean, that's definitely one area I'm looking at for training camp, and I'm sure there'll be more that pop up as we come, but it definitely seems like that's one of the biggest questions right now. And we're going to be asked to do like an all 32 where we kind of ask what's the biggest question going into training camp. That's what I wrote down for that section, just talking about the secondary. So it should be pretty interesting.
Okuda in general is probably an interesting person to watch all of camp. Cause we were talking about that yesterday. Like, and we've talked about it so many times as we are already on a countdown here. He is like every time he was out there for anything in spring, he was like, he looked uncomfortable. I don't know like how else to put that, Chris. I don't know what else you would say. Like, he looked anxious. He gave one talk, I think, off to the side, maybe two. And it's like, it was kind of Okuda, but he was intense. And it's like, he's so focused, hyper-focused right now, right? You could tell. But there's part of me that's just got this in the back of my head that I'm concerned that he's winding himself up so tight that it's like, are you going to be okay when this goes? Like, that's my – I'm curious, Chris, for your thoughts on this, because Colton mentioned it, but Okuda is kind of like the big – when he gets back out there healthy, I don't know when that's going to be, but like, that's really right now, if you're talking about one player in camp, it might be him as the guy that you're like, you got to see something here, good or bad. What's it going to be?
But that's kind of always been the thing with him though. Right. You know,
but now the pressure,
well, you're right. But I mean, you hear the coaches talk all the time about like, if you're going to play corner, you got to have that short memory. Like if you're going to give up a play, you got to come right back and make a play the next time. And I don't know that he has that short memory. I mean, at some point he must have. Like, obviously he was very good at Ohio State. I think when we went into that draft and we were looking at prospects, certainly he was an obvious pick for
that. He was the best one.
Yeah. Right. He was the best player for them at that point. I think he was top five in that class. And so he's made it work. But yeah, I mean, I think that even when he was healthy in camp last year, you know, he'd have a rep just like off to the side when they were doing positional stuff and he'd screw up. And then you'd hear Pleasant screaming at him because he was so focused on what he'd done wrong that he like wasn't able to come back and do the next rep right. And so, this is such a huge task in front of him to come back and not just come back. But I think, like you said, the way he's working, I think his expectation is that he's going to come back and be the number one cornerback on this defense. And I don't know that he was going to be the number one cornerback all last season if he stayed healthy. Like, was he good enough to do that? And now you're coming back from that type of injury. We need to see what the speed looks like. We need to see what the change of direction looks like. I mean, we've said all along, he is a really, I think he has the potential to be a really, really smart, like coach on the field type player for them. But I mean, it sort of remains to be seen sort of what he's going to look like August is going to be really tough. And I don't think I can't imagine he hits the ground running at 100% the first day of camp. Right. So like, when's he get cleared? When's he rejoin that first team defense? How's he look if he gets a shot against Shark or Josh Reynolds? Like, I don't know. I think it is one of the biggest questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions on defense. I was just like, after I answered that safety was the one I was watching, like, well, maybe defensive tackle. I also don't know who's playing defensive tackle, but Okuda's the one piece for me, because I do think there is, as good as Oral Warrior has been in his role, I do think there is kind of a ceiling there. Mm-hmm. And I think you can argue that Okuda's ceiling is higher, but he's a long way from that ceiling now, right? Like, you wouldn't put him anywhere. Like, no, I don't know. I mean, do you think he's going to start? Like, if you had to guess right now, do you think he's a starter in week one?
Well, I put down on our position battles for corner, I did not have him as a starter. And I was like, I can feel his laser stare, you know, boring through my skull right now with rage. There's no evidence. We haven't seen him do anything since he got hurt in that first game. And he got burned in that game, like a couple times, if I can look all the way back and remember. It wasn't good. Like, that was the game where Pleasant lost it on him on TV. And everybody, remember, and it was like, he was just trying to get him to focus. Like, Jeff, just shut up and listen to me. Like, stop telling me what happened. Stop telling me why it happened. Just shut up and listen. Like, that stuff is what I worry about with him.
So let me ask this. Is he a guy that the coaching staff will give him every opportunity to be a starting corner? Or are they going to be hard on him and make him earn it?
I think that's the biggest question, right? Because it's like, because Colton, you asked that yesterday, is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be, what's he going to be? And it's like, well, I think it's going to be what you just said. I think it's going to be, I'm not trying to wreck the guy's confidence, number one. And like Chris said earlier, his mindset is an alpha competitor. I'm the best guy here. I was a number three pick in the draft for a reason. I am not a bust. I am going to be a number one corner in this league. And I think that whole mindset is part of the reason why they like him. And part of the reason why I think they want it to work for him, and why, you know, specifically Glenn likes him. And I think that's why, yes, it will start out as go show it. But if you can't show it, and if we get to like the third week of preseason or something, and he's struggling still and everything else, well, you know, maybe then it's time to have a different conversation. I don't know. Or maybe that's something that lingers into the year. I don't know. But it's a really important, I would say, like, August and September are huge for him. Because,
well, I think what we've seen from this coaching staff, and as a player, there's probably some positives and negatives to this, but like, they'll give him a chance because they'll give everyone a chance. And I think if he goes out there and like Savion Smith and Bobby Price are better than him, then they're going to play Savion Smith and Bobby Price, and they'll have a conversation about what to do with Okuda. So, but I mean, I think in terms of the way he's approached this injury, he's been in the building a ton. He's wanted to be around the team. Like, he's definitely like vocally, you could just watch him at camp, and even when he couldn't participate in OTAs, like if he wasn't off working to the side by himself, he was right in there. He can be a leader on this defense. So I think that they love him to be that guy. Mm-hmm. But they also didn't pick him, and he was hurt last year. And so I don't know, you know, they're not going off a whole lot here in terms of like, well, what could this be? I think it's, yeah, I mean, it really is just a lot of kind of cross your fingers and hope it works out. Because I do think, again, I think he has the highest ceiling of any cornerback on that roster. But yeah, if you were stacking it up right now, like headed into next week, where does he rank?
It's really hard.
It would be below like four or five guys, probably.
It's really hard. You just nailed it, because like they didn't pick him, and he's trying so hard, I think, somewhere deep in there to prove to them, you should, you know, if you were the staff, you would have picked me. But I think they're probably trying to tell him, like, dude, stop. Like, you're our guy. You're one of our dudes. But also on the other hand, you're like, but also you kind of need to do something, because we've never seen you do anything. Yeah. Only thing we have on film of you in the NFL is getting your ass kicked. So, man, like, it's a, like, if I'm looking at one guy where you're like, when the injury wheels come off and he can get going again, like, more than anybody else, it's him, I think. And maybe more than anybody else on the team, really. Like, because we talked about that when he got hurt, Chris. Like, if he can't come back, and if he's not the same, or you have to, whatever, you have got to restart now at a spot that you just, you know, invested a number three pick. Like, 3 years later, you're almost restarting. So, Colton, for your point earlier, like, I think you kind of have to exhaust all corner whatever with him and let him sort of maybe even go into the season and just see what happens. And if he surprises you, he surprises you. Or maybe it's not even a surprise. Maybe he's just ready. I don't know. But, like, I mean, you remember him at Ohio State. It wasn't bullshit. I mean, he was good. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah, that 2019 Michigan State-Ohio State game.
Really good, yeah.
Incredible. I was like, this guy's going to be a future star. So, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate with the injury and everything that we haven't been able to see him on the field a ton. You know, his first year, he was with Matt Patricia's team.
Right.
So it has been kind of interesting. That we haven't been able to see him, unfortunate, but, you know, we'll see what he can do this upcoming week and this season ultimately. So, yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Jeff Okuda, of course, I think is probably the guy that I've thought about the most as we go into camp here. But the other thing I think that I think about, and that we've talked about a lot, that we're not going to see right away, is the offensive line, and just the general sort of feel about, you know, where that's all at. Can they be dominant and everything else? And I think it's a weird thing a little bit, because we've talked a lot about what it can be or what it could be or what it could look like. But reality is reality. In like 2 weeks, they're going to put pads on. They're going to do it. And it's going to have to be like, it's going to have to be good. So I'm very curious to see what all that is going to look like. I mean, what questions do we have? Do we have questions up front, Chris, with the offensive line right now? What are you looking for them to be dominant? Are we looking for them to be functional? They really never played together, all five.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's curious as well.
Well, you've been waiting for Hutchinson against Sewell for 4 months now. So I'm excited to see that. I think they expect to be dominant.
I think so too. I think that should be the expectation.
So again, that's a pretty high bar. But if you look at those guys, like Frank Ragnow's an elite center in this league. Yeah. Sewell looked incredible in the spring. I mean, I think he has the potential to be one of the best tackles in football soon. Yes. Whether he's on the left or right side, they're pretty good at guard. I mean, Vaitai, we talked about it in the spring too, looks slimmed down. I thought he played pretty well last year. Jonah Jackson is a really good player. And then, you know, to me, I guess if you're talking about, you're kind of nitpicking, like, are you going to be good or are you going to be great? Like, is Taylor Decker a top 5 or 10 left tackle in this league, or is he an average left tackle? And right. So I guess like, he's got to be at that top level too. But I mean, we haven't seen him healthy, but I think if they are healthy, pretty much everything this offense is going to do runs through how they're playing. Like if they have games where they go into the game planning sessions and they say, we can just kill these teams up front, they're going to run the ball 35 times and they're just going to do that. But they also have some flexibility with the athletes they have up there to use the play action and use the screen game and everything. I mean, I think it's could be a lot of fun. And the question I have up there is not so much like how good can that front be? It's again, you know, what happens if you lose one? Because the depth other than Evan Brown at center, who I thought played pretty well last year, like the depth there is a problem still for me. They didn't play a snap together last year. So now you're going to get 17 games out of them all out there.
Exactly.
It just doesn't happen in the NFL. So I don't know. Colton, what's your first impression of those guys up front? I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch like Sewell at this point yet, but what do you think about that group?
Nick's been hyping up Sewell, that Hutchinson-Sewell matchup. So
did he play in that Michigan State Oregon classic bowl game?
I don't know if he opted out.
That might have been his last game. That might have been right.
Oh yeah,
played too. Right.
Don't remind me of that game, the Red Bull. The worst game I've ever seen. 7-6. That defense, Michigan State's defense, made Justin Herbert look like he was going to be a future bust. Like
a bum.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the offensive line, I think it's a lot of the stuff that you guys mentioned. Like, it has the potential to be dominant. I didn't realize that they hadn't played, you know, was it even a single snap last year together? Like, that five?
Yeah, it's crazy. Injuries were just random. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, it seems like it could be one of the best offensive lines in the league. And, I mean, Nick, you mentioned the other day we were kind of talking a little bit with DeAndre Swift and, you know, that potential with the, you know, the offensive line, him healthy and running behind that line, it seems like that could be the Lions' game plan and, you know, a reason for success this year if it all comes together. But obviously health is a big issue. I think the depth, like you mentioned, is a little bit concerning. You know, who's going to step up behind that group? If they are injured, like going from zero snaps played to 17 games together is tough. So probably a lot of the same things that you guys just mentioned, but it seems like the offensive line on paper, if you can get that production out of them for, even if it's not all 17 games, you can get that for the majority of the season, you can do some damage in the trenches. And I think that they should be considered one of the best offensive lines in football if they are healthy and all on the field together.
I think that the two things that I would look for once the pads come on for all of camp, and really all of like the first little bit here of the season would be, is if Sewell takes the next, you know, step that we think he's going to take, which, you know, someone asked me that, I think a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of like, maybe it was on the podcast, and it was like, if we get to the end of the season and they're just like running behind Sewell and he's just caving guys and it's obvious he's exactly where you want him to be. So getting closer to that, maybe not there, but starting to be a mauler, starting to be a guy that we see that's going out there and dominating stretches. And then also, you know, is Frank Ragnow, is he back to where, you know, physically where we expect him to be? And is he going to go right back to the track that he was on, to where I thought he was already, I thought, the best center in football? But to be fair, he's hurt. Now he's got to come back and sort of prove it again. So if those two guys, who I think are the closest thing that we can call to generational talents on this team, if those two guys can continue to take their steps to where they want to go, then, like, yeah, the run game is going to be hard to deal with, because Jonah Jackson's a good player. He's maybe not a great player, maybe not like whatever, but he's going to idle at good or above average, and he's going to play through injuries and he's going to be fine. Decker, I think, like, to Chris's point, is he a top 10 left tackle in the league? I don't know, maybe, but I don't think he has to be anything more than that, because if you got a good guard next to him, that's cool, because the guy next to him is the best center in football. Then you flip to the other side, you got a generational tackle. And frankly, we've talked about this, I like what Vitae's done, and I don't care who the other guard is. It can be a warm body. If he's in between Frank and Sewell, like, I don't care who it is. So Frank and Sewell are the two guys that I look at and say, like, if those two guys are the guys that we, like, feel the most in training camp, like the guys that you're like, they're kicking everyone's ass, then this is going exactly where it should be going, because those are the two best players on the offense. And I think that at some point, you know, regardless of the quarterback stuff, which we're going to talk about in a second here and all that, this whole thing goes where the run game goes and where the offensive line takes it. And those two, Frank and Sewell, are the most important, I think, players probably on the team.
You're talking about two of the top five players of that position, potentially, and maybe if Sewell takes that next step,
maybe the best. Player.
Yeah. So I think it doesn't really matter. The other piece you have around them, as long as they're serviceable, you're going to be fine. And some of those players have the potential to be better than serviceable. So
exactly.
Well, yeah,
it's a good spot
with Ragnow, and we probably didn't even talk about this quite as much as maybe it needed to be talked about last year, but like, for the Lions to do what they did in the second half of the year offensively, and we talked about them not having the wide receiver pieces and Swift was hurt and all that, but to do that with Ragnow out of the lineup, I think that says a lot too about, you know, sort of how they called those games and what they're able to do with the scheme, because Ragnow, on top of being just a great lineman, is extremely smart up there. And he's a guy Goff will lean on a ton and leaned on a ton last year and sees the field extremely well. So you put him back in and then you add that to the development that they had with that offense. And I think that that's the type of stuff that really excites them in the building, is thinking about what Ragnow, you know, adds in even mentally at that position. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those guys. Goff, like you said, I know we're going to get into Goff. I know Colton already had a mailbag question about Goff's future here.
The first question was, what do you think about Goff?
I mean, he does it. It's not a unique challenge. There are other guys in the league who aren't, you know, other quarterbacks in the league who aren't ultra mobile, but it is something, as you talk about, like, how good can this offensive line be? You have to take into account that they're also pass blocking for a quarterback who can't get out of the pocket.
Right.
And so that's, you know, you're not going to have pass plays where you say, all right, well, we don't need you to wipe out your guy, because we're going to roll him away. He's going to get out. He's going to do something with his feet. Like, you, it's every single play. They either have to be smashing someone in the run game, or they have to be holding a block for however long Jared Goff needs to hold a block for, because he's not getting out of there. And so I think that that's something else too. That's one of the things, like, especially with Decker, that's the one for me. Like, is he going to be an elite pass blocker this year? Because Jared Goff sort of demands that you be elite pass blockers up front.
Yeah, that is fair. And I guess that's the one thing where it all comes back to, because, and I was writing a little bit about this, and Colton, I know you already got your mailbag question about Goff, but I was writing a little bit about this in the primer thing, like, and Chris and I think have touched on this. They've taken away all I don't want to call them excuses. We can call them whatever you want to call them. They've taken away all of the things that you could lean on, all the crutches, all the guardrail, whatever. Because once Jameson Williams is back, you have speed all over the place at receiver. You have a young up-and-coming tight end who, you know, a lot of people are very high on. We just touched on possibly the best young offensive line in football, and a guy like Swift back there. Okay, man, like a lot of quarterbacks could probably make that work, right? I would think. So, I don't know. You're Colton, we talked about Goff yesterday a little bit too on, you know, his season being up and down. I'm curious again, outside coming in, if I'm asking you from what you see of Jared Goff, what do you tell me you see? What is he, in your opinion, as a guy that you, you know, you didn't watch every game up close like that last year? What do you see when you see Jared Goff?
I mean, I think Goff sort of is what he is. He's kind of limited in the stage of his career. Like, he's going to be serviceable. He might not be a guy that can win you a Super Bowl at this point in his career. But, you know, the Lions aren't in a position to win one anyway right now. So I think you're at this point, you're just trying to figure out what you have in him. And last year probably wasn't the best year to figure that out. You know, it doesn't
seem
fair.
That's fair.
It doesn't seem like he was a great fit with Anthony Lynn. So, you know, obviously they have a change now with Ben Johnson coming in. And, you know, I know you mentioned that he looked a lot better. And Dan Campbell and Johnson kind of took over the play calling duties. I want to dive into those numbers a little bit more this week with True Media, those statistics that we have. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess it seems like everything you just said, like, this is the year to show that you can be, you know, a guy for at least the next couple of years. You know, we'll see how long he ends up being on the roster. But can you hold off on us trying to get up into, like, the top 10 if we're not there and draft one of those guys to replace you? Or, you know, what's the season going to look like for you? I think this is a big year for him. Like you mentioned, he's got a lot of weapons at receiver, Jameson Williams coming in. DeAndre Swift is a great running back. You know, he's got weapons around him. He's got a great offensive line, like you mentioned. So it's kind of like almost a prove it year for him in a way. And there, you know, that mailbag question I got is basically saying, like, how can we show improvement and still get a top quarterback? And that kind of shows you where are right now.
Yeah.
Cause they don't trust Goff. It doesn't seem like it, at least from what I've seen so far. No. So I think
that's why would they? Yeah.
And he has to prove it. He has to be better. And I think he has, you know, sort of the things that he needs around him now to be a better player than he was last year. And now it's really up to him to actually go out and do it. So I think that's all fair.
And that's the greatest point, because they've taken away all of – because last year it was fair to suggest, as bad as he was in the first half, and he was, like, personally, whatever, a lot of stuff around him was horrible, like, really bad. And there were some times, you know, like, you think back, Chris, to, like, the 49er again, the first game of the year, where he stood in there and had to make some plays and had to do some things. There were some moments that maybe you look back and say, in the moment, maybe you're too critical on him for whatever reason, this, that, and the other. But as time goes on and you take away those things, because now the receiving, you know, the receiver core is much better. All these things are working together in concert. Well, now, like, this is an offense that if you're functioning, it should score points. It should move the ball. The court, you know, Colton mentions Ben Johnson. They bring him in and they've gone back this offseason and retooled the entire pass game to better fit everything he does well. Familiar concepts from the Rams. They might have even gone back into his Cal bag. I don't know. Like, I mean, anything that fits, you know, his skill set to give him all possible tools to have the best year of his career, because, frankly, he's going to have to. Because, Chris, this is my question to you. This is it for Jared Goff. This is the year right here. You either do it and you go forward with this team as a possible answer, or you don't and you're a backup for the rest of your career. And I think that's on the table here for him. I'm curious for your thoughts. Maybe, am I too harsh? Am I being too harsh there?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, it's tough, because I think the challenge always is, like, okay, well, we still have to figure out a way to win games, right? Like, you still have to figure out a way to move this forward without having an elite, you know, quote unquote elite quarterback.
Exactly.
Who knows when you're going to get that elite quarterback? Even if you draft one next year, like, even if you go win four games this year, you trade up and you get Stroud or Bryce Young, like, is he immediately coming in and taking you to the next level? I don't know. Probably or not. Can you figure out a way to make this work with Goff? And I think that's the thing they keep coming back to, is that, like, no, he's not the best quarterback in the world. He's not the most mobile guy. I think they're honest with themselves about what he is and what he isn't, but they, you know, we kind of brush it off when they say, well, he's a winner. He's won games in this league. But I think to them that matters. And I think they see enough there especially like we keep going back to that second half of last year, enough there to say, all right, well, we can do some things with him. And like, I look even within the division, like in his 4 years in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins has thrown 124 touchdown passes and like 30 or 35 interceptions.
Pretty good.
Is Kirk Cousins way better than Jared Goff as a quarterback?
Nope.
I don't, I would argue he's probably not. And no. I say that at the risk of inciting the Michigan State fans who already are mad enough about Hutchinson being the pick, but
and all of Minnesota, actually.
Well, all of Minnesota, that's sort of the team that I look at. Like, Minnesota's been super consistent. They haven't been a great team, but they've been consistent. They've been in the playoff race with a quarterback who's good.
Couple of pieces away, right?
And so I think that that's sort of what I see the Lions being with Jared Goff. Like, I think they can be a 7, 8, 9, 10 win team with Goff. Maybe not 10 wins this year, but like,
sure,
if he's your guy for 2 years, you could get to 9 or 10 next year, and then you kind of figure it out. Because I think that's always like, if he's not your guy, you've got to go find one, and who knows how many years that's going to take. So they've got to continue building this thing with the expectation that he's going to be good enough to keep it moving forward. And I think, I think he can be that. I would have loved to see them bring in someone else too. Like, I don't think Tim Boyle and David Blau, like, I love David Blau. He's one of the nicest guys in the league, but like, I don't know. Give me something else to work with there.
Was that intentional though? Or are they trying not to, like, you know, mess with this, you know, Goff's hand or anything? Or
it was last year for sure.
I think so. Yeah. I think now this year, but to Chris's point, like, it can't be. It shouldn't be. And, you know, I think that maybe it still was. I don't know. You know, but like, it's a decision is going to have to be made, you know, this year on him. I think, fair or not. And like, because it's going to be a hard one, because unless he's horrible, if he's horrible, then it's an easy decision. You got to move on, right? And the other decision, I guess, if he's what he was last year, let me ask you that one, Chris. If Goff is basically what he was last year, and the year ends, are you you have the out? You have the $10 million, or you can wait, and you have 5 years after. Like, I mean, it's. There's a couple things you could do. You wouldn't have to, it doesn't have to be just a hard, like, get rid of him, you're out of here. So I think that you can look at it that way and say, you know, it could go in stages, but I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious if he's not very good and suddenly they're trading draft picks and they're going to, you know, it's Garoppolo part two. I mean, you don't want that.
Right. Well, that's part of the conversation though, right? Like, if you get to the end of the year and Arizona's like, hey, do you want Kyler Murray? Like, oh, well, all right. Well, maybe we look at that. But if you're at the end of the year and you're picking 18 and 31 in the first round and Goff played all right and his cap hit next year is pretty much the same as it is this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are going to be some difficult conversations. But again, to some extent, I feel like we maybe overblow sort of what the Goff conversation even is within the building. Because when they traded for him and then they redid the contract, we said it's 2 years. They want 2 years. Yep. And then the first half of last year happened.
We were like, get rid of him.
Like, please put someone else in a quarterback. But it was always like, this was always the window, 2 years, and then figure out sort of where you are as a team. Maybe he's great. Maybe this offense looks incredible with him this year, and they surprise everyone, and they're in the playoff hunt, and you win 9 games, and then I think you do probably bring him back. And but if it's like he's okay, and you go 6-11, I mean, I don't think you need to force it. I think that's sort of the beauty of what they have here is they like he's still 28. Like, it's not like he's a 39-year-old quarterback.
Exactly.
Like, he's still a guy that if he comes out and plays well. Okay.
You well, still have the in theory possibility of Jared Goff hitting that, you know, magic age that we talk about a lot, 28, 29, where a quarterback finally mentally starts to see the game at a level that we would say is like mastery level. You're understanding, and hopefully the game is slowing down for you to where you can overcome some of your physical limitations and be a better football player. Like, maybe he's going to become that guy. And if he does become that guy, then they can say, okay, well, maybe we can get like two or three more years out of Goff. We won't have to spend our entire draft finding another quarterback. We can still draft a quarterback.
Yeah. Somewhere,
right? We could still, and you know, we haven't touched on this, and we would know, everyone on this call, there are more quarterbacks coming out in this class that you don't have to necessarily sit at the top. And so I think that it changes a little bit about maybe your calculus on how he plays. He just can't be a disaster, I guess. He's got to be better in some capacity here, right?
Let me ask Colton, as we help Lions readers get to know Colton here a little bit, like, what do you think the quarterback position needs to be, I guess, on a contending team in the NFL? Like, do you have to have Josh Allen or Mahomes or this version of Matthew Stafford that we saw last year? Or can you win with, you know, Goff or Cousins or, Ryan Tannehill?
Cousins, like peak Cousins, we'll say. Yeah, how about that?
I mean, obviously it helps to have one of those guys, but, I mean, we've seen teams make runs without it. Like the 49ers getting the Super Bowl a couple years ago with Jimmy. I think it depends what's around you and if your roster on defense is strong enough, you have a good offensive line in place, you have weapons around the quarterback to maximize, you know, his limitations, just get to as close to his ceiling as he can get. I don't think you necessarily need a Josh Allen type. Again, obviously it helps, but, you know, I just think the biggest thing with the Lions right now is they have options. You know, they can Goff proves himself this year. Maybe you keep him around for a couple more years. If he does improve a little bit, but it's still not the quarterback that you want, maybe you can just stand pat with your picks, get someone at 18, if that's where it is, you know, one of those, you know, second tier quarterbacks outside of the top two, and kind of let him develop while keeping Goff around.
Yes.
Or you can use those, you know, your draft capital to kind of make a big splash if you do want to get in the top five or whatever and land one of those guys. So they have a lot of different options, a lot of different possibilities. It just depends on Goff and how he plays. This is a big 100% year for him, and ultimately it comes down to his performance on the field, whether the Lions make a move or not.
That's really well said, because the better Goff play, and this is important to say here, the better he plays, all fans should remember this when you're getting pissed and yelling and screaming for him to get benched. The better he plays this season, the better it is for them long-term, whether he's the quarterback or not. Because Colton just said it. If he can play to a level where he's good enough to buy a pass to the next year or the year after, you can then get a quarterback in here that you don't have to put a gun to his head and say, like, you're our guy right now, today. Like, you have to go win 12 games. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, so the better he plays, the better it is for you long-term. He becomes a trade asset, possibly, heaven forbid. I mean, so all those things – I think are the reason why you saw the Lions do what they do last year with you take, you know, the thing away from Anthony Lynn, as hard as that was, they've gone forward with Ben Johnson and created, you know, brought in receivers, I think, that fit, you know, a lot of what they want to run with Goff and sort of created a pass game. And I think we'll see it with the play action and everything else that we see when camp gets going, that'll better suit what he does as quarterback. Chris, we did run the story today on Ben Johnson that we did. We sat with him, we watched tape with him for about an hour on Josh Reynolds and DJ Shark. But, you know, curious your thoughts. My biggest impression remains that, you know, Johnson sees all this, the same thing that we're talking about. It's like, if we can get him to be as comfortable as possible and just be like, just make the easy shots. And if we can make it easy for you, it's going to be enough. And it's going to be really good for all of us, because like, it's just going to benefit everyone top down.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of that goes back to them understanding what the pros and cons are with Goff, right? Like, it's not like,
know who he is. Don't lie to yourself.
And I think some of that was where the Anthony Lynn disconnect was. Like, this last year, they went out and got the couple of vertical receivers right away that, you know, they wanted Perriman and Tyrell Williams to stretch the field. And then we got to camp and they threw like one deep ball the first 3 weeks of practice. I'm like, well, this isn't good. These are the pieces. These pieces don't make any sense with what you just are trying to do. And so then Anthony Lynn left and or Anthony Lynn's job shifted whatever. And I think we saw them make that adjustment, even with just like St. Brown and anyone else they could find to play receiver. We saw a lot more of, you know, just get the ball out of Goff's hands, get it out to guys, let them make plays. We have playmakers even down our depth chart.
Yeah.
But they've also said, you know, we're sort of basing everything we're talking about with this offense off the second half of last year. They've also said they basically like scrapped it and started over, you know, that was really like they're relearning everything. St. Brown said it. Ben Johnson sort of told us that, like, they took some pieces from last year that worked, but this is going to look in theory, totally different than it did over the second half of last year. And I think a lot of that goes to Goff, but also to like when they're talking about all the different types of routes Hockenson can run and all the different things Shark can do that he didn't get to do. Like in Jacksonville, exactly. He ran like go routes all the time.
That's all he did.
And, yeah. You know, we've already seen him like playing out of the slot a little bit and doing some stuff underneath where they get it to him. I mean, he's a 4-3 guy, like just give him the ball and get out of the way, see what he can do. And so I think like the idea, like you're saying, is to just make this as easy as possible. So,
yep.
Goff doesn't have to stand back there and get to his fourth read and right. throw to a yes. guy who's covered. Like just
because he's never going to get there.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. He's going to do one of those spin moves that are terrible and get set.
Right. Exactly. That's the best point. I mean, offense has to be faster. It has to be more efficient.
Yeah. You can't. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can like. I don't even want to say dumb it down, but whatever the phrase is, you know, like there's a limit efficiency. To how much you can scale it back yeah, right. and make it easy for a quarterback in the NFL. Like eventually, if you're going to win games, you're going to have to make plays.
Right.
But I do think that this will make a lot more sense this year than what it did at the start of last year. So that's something. I mean, I think I said it on the last podcast or wrote it or something. Like there were times in camp last year where we were all standing there as a media watching them on offense. You're like, they are going to score like 3 touchdowns this season. This is terrible. Yeah. And I think already it looks more cohesive.
They were trying to run an offense with guys that didn't know how to, you know, that didn't fit. And now I think they're more focused on trying to get guys open, just trying to, you know, what does he do well? What does his route tree look like in comparison to him? Okay. Let's find stuff that he does well so he can get open. So Jared can have a guy that's open, you know, check here, throw there. Like those are the things I think they're trying to establish. So you can play with a little more tempo and then change the speeds that Campbell's talked about that as well. So if you get into a spot in a game where you want to grind it out and let that offensive line do its thing, you can do that. But, you know, some of the quick game that we saw from them late last year, I think that'll be incorporated as well. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be like a giant hodgepodge of routes that Shark runs well, routes Reynolds runs well, concepts that they all sort of tie together. Let's do things to just find ways to move the ball. That's all they have. Find ways to move the ball, keep the defense off the field as much as you possibly can, and see if you can steal a few, right? I think that that's where they're at now. When we look at the record and the season and everything top down, it's like, what, and those are the games that you look at and say, what games can you realistically, if you're at your best, and if the talent level is higher than it was a year ago, which it is, which games can you steal? And if we look back to a year ago, there's probably more than you probably think off the top of your head, I guess. And I think that's probably the reason for optimism, but it's also like still in that same, like, your margins are very, very, very thin if they even exist. And that's kind of where the Lions are still at. So we got any other parting thoughts here, gentlemen? I think we're going to run on a timer here. Chris, you're muted. Chris is muted. You're muted. You're still muted. There you go. I can't hear him. Can you hear him, Colton?
I cannot.
Chris is still muted. So Colton, okay, you're
there
right.
We go.
Did oh, there it? We go. Yeah, now you're talking.
There he is.
Oh, my God.
You're good now. Okay.
3 weeks off the beat, and I forget how to use.
Retired from podcast.
I was going to ask Colton, like, this will be your first, like, full training camp experience as an NFL beat writer. So, how you feeling heading in? Like, what are you looking forward to? You've got the Hard Knocks wrinkle this year too, but you know, just sort of, I don't know. What are you excited to see out there?
Yeah, I'm excited to go, and I think I have to adjust my sleep schedule a little bit if we're out there at 8 a.m. every day. No more 2:30 a.m. bedtimes. So I'll have to fix that. But, no, I'm excited to get out there. It'll be more professional and, you know, less restrictions coming from a college
team,
NFL, a lot more access, you know, a lot, you know, the locker room access. I'm looking forward to that eventually whenever it comes. Just kind of getting to know the team a little bit because I'm still – everything I know right now is either based off of, you know, stuff that you guys have written or you know, kind of watching a few games here and there. So I'm looking forward to actually like seeing things with my own eyes and getting out there. And yeah, we do have Hard Knocks. I don't want to be on camera. I'll maybe dress up a little nicer just in case I end up in a shot or something. But no, it should be a good deal.
Hey, I tell you what, after the 10th day of camp, you are not going to care what you're looking like. It'll be just make sure you have comfortable shoes, Colton, and a hat. and a nice hat to keep that sun off the head.
It's enough.
But yes, either way, that'll be next week. So we'll be back. I think we're going to start weekly shows, I imagine, once camp starts. That'll be next week. So Colton and I will be back with you all at some point next week. And then Chris will be back with us, I don't know, whenever he comes back around.
We'll figure it out.
If you've got anything else, Chris, I'll let you write us on out of here. But otherwise, Colton, I appreciate the time. But we'll see you next week. Very excited to get started.
No, man, I would just reiterate that, like, I think that I know we've it's a little different for subscribers, and we're asking sort of a leap of faith from people to sort of hang with us as we change it. You know, you subscribe for the coverage that Nick and I have provided, or you've subscribed to Michigan State coverage because Colton's done a great job there. And we're sort of asking this leap of faith for you to stick with us here. But like I said, I think Colton's Lions fans who aren't familiar with Colton, I think are going to really enjoy what they get from him. Michigan State fans who also happen to be Lions fans should be thrilled that just knowing what he did on that beat, and then thinking about, like he said, like the access and everything and the benefit, I guess, if there is one, of sort of the COVID situation we've had for the past couple of years, is they've turned over like this entire roster, and none of the reporters out there have spent any time with anyone. So you're sort of coming in at the same level. So I just would, I guess, say thanks to everyone who subscribed on the Lions side and the Michigan State side. And just, I think I'm really looking forward to seeing what it looks like. I think you're going to be really happy with how the coverage sort of unfolds here. And like Nick said, I think this ultimately will give you more bang for your buck on the Lions coverage, because you'll have Colton out there every day. You'll have Nick in his usual role. And then I'm here as another set of eyes and ears to sort of pick up the slack if there ever is any. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It should be, as far as Lions seasons go, and I always, you know, you sort of hesitate because people always get a little optimistic, but this, the buzz around this team is different than it's been. I don't know.
In
it feels
years.
Different than it has in a long time. So it should be interesting to see where it goes. We'll, podcast will be here on a regular basis. You can, Colton's been writing some Lions stuff. You can continue to check out his stuff as camp gets going next week. They mentioned they have their training camp primer going up. Nick and I just had our story with Ben Johnson go up, on whatever day it is,
Wednesday.
So head over to theathletic.com and check that out. We've got subscription deals going all the time. If you don't have one, you can still find one of these years ad-free on the app, as well as at the usual spots, Google, Spotify, Apple, everywhere else. And like Nick said, we'll be on a more regular schedule now. I know we promised that a couple times and not to
let it always works out.
Now it's for real. So you can believe us this time. So, all right. So for Colton and Nick, I'm Chris. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.